Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The other thing going on tonight besides the Browns in primetime is the Indians in primetime as they host the Phillies in the finale of this series. Series tied 1-1. Indians a winner on Friday. The Phillies returned the favor last night with a 9-4 victory down at the stadium. The last one of the last games here, last series, I should say, as the Indians will hit the road after tonight's game for their final six as they head to Chicago and to the nation's capital to face off with the Nationals. Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he writes here for 923thefan.com. He's your Indians beat reporter. James Rapine joins us. James, first off, good morning, and thanks for making time. It's my honor to finally talk to you.
No, of course, man. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. So let's start with this. The Indians, we know that they're one game behind the wild card spot right now. I think we could probably eliminate catching Oakland, so we're going to just continue to look at Tampa. The division's probably out of question as well, even though you're still technically alive, being four behind Minnesota. What do the Indians have to do over these final seven games to get into the postseason? And I guess the real question is, do you see them making the postseason?
Yeah, I was talking to someone yesterday in the clubhouse, not a player, but just reacting to the game and the loss, and then obviously Tampa Bay, what they did in the 11th inning, coming back to beat Boston last night. And one game in this race feels much bigger than one game. Like, it could change today, right? If Boston handles its business, and we'll see at 1 o'clock, it's the early game, so the Indians will know what happens by the time they take the field at 6:30. And so we'll know, and it only takes one day to get caught up and be tied for the wild card, but one game feels like five. It feels like they are down by a lot, but they're not, and that's the reality of it, is it only takes one game. So while I see people burying them, it could change in a hurry, and we've seen that over the past couple of weeks. So what do they need to do? You look at that schedule, they certainly have to beat Philadelphia today. Then they're off tomorrow. Tampa Bay finishes up with Boston. And then you really maybe lose one more game. Like, if they go 6-1, that means to catch Tampa. Tampa goes 5-2. Maybe they somehow fall to 4-3 because they have two against the Yankees, two against Boston, and then three against Texas that Tampa Bay does. So I really think that the margin of error is real thin here. So we're talking about maybe a 6-1 record down the stretch against some good teams, including Chicago, who's handled their business and played better in the second half and certainly played well against the Indians the last time they matched up. And then they have to go to Washington, which is going to be tough because you don't know if Fernando Reyes is even going to be in the lineup.
Right.
You're not going to have the DH in the National League. So it's going to be quite a challenge for the Indians.
Now, let's go there just quickly because, you know, when Franmil came over, obviously he was a guy playing right field in San Diego. Obviously, you don't need him in that spot when you also acquire Puig. You already had a couple of interleague games where you just completely eliminated him, just used him as a pinch hitter. I mean, is there any talk about using him in the outfield, maybe putting him in left field? Because obviously you're not going to put him in right field with Puig, but hide him in left for a couple of these games. Because I think you're going to need his bat coming against these three, depending on how and what Washington looks like. Because, again, they're in their own wild card race, so they might have to throw their guys. Maybe they clinch and their rotation changes a little bit. But is there any talk about getting him into the outfield next week?
Yeah, I certainly think it's something Terry Francona has already thought about, thinking about, and trying to figure out what they do. I don't think he'll start all three games. Obviously, pinch hitting him is a no-brainer at some point in any big scenario. But I think there is a chance where he could start in left field at least one of those three games, because you're right. He's just – it's different when he's in the lineup. And if Jose comes back, like, it feels like at some point he's going to. Now 1-6, you have a guy that can take the ball deep at each spot. So it's one of those things where Franmil Reyes changes the game. In a game like yesterday where your bats go cold after inning number two,
right?
He he's one long ball away from suddenly giving your offense a jump start. And you need that, especially going up against a Washington team that's right there going to be battling for their own playoff spot.
James Rapine joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can read him here at 92.3thefan.com. He's covered the Indians all season long here for the station. And you talk about Jose Ramirez. He faced live pitching yesterday. First, what did he look like? And, you know, is there a possibility tonight, maybe coming up on, you know, Tuesday when they open up in Chicago, is there any clear timetable, or is it just let's see how he reacts after keep knocking off these little accomplishments and getting him back out there?
Yeah, I asked Terry Francona last night after the game, which, you know, they lose 9-4, and obviously Tampa Bay wins, and that's the focus. But the reality is Jose Ramirez looked normal when he went through the batting, because he did an extensive workout. I mean, they put him through a lot. So he faced live pitching, but before that he was in the cage just getting some swings in, getting warmed up. Then he faced live pitching from Yefri Rodriguez and another pitcher who slipped my mind, but he went on both sides of the plate there and looked pretty good. And I think the Indians thought he looked pretty good and felt good about what he was able to do on both sides of the plate. And then he ran sprints and he fielded ground balls and he just went through a really extensive workout. And I think it's good to see that. They're waiting for sure to see how that hand responds today and how he feels today. We'll know ahead of time if they're going to use him today or not, because they'll have to activate him from the injured list. That's the thing, is he's on the injured list. So we'll know. There won't be any surprises. He won't surprisingly just be available to pinch hit or anything like that. So we'll know. But I certainly think he's getting close. And if he's not available today, it's to the point, and I'm kind of surprised I'm saying this, but I would be shocked if he isn't at least available to play on Tuesday against the White Sox. It's just everything he's done, he's tackled, the rehab, and every little benchmark that you need to hit to recover from this hammock bone injury, he's done. And I think he's recovered enough to where maybe they'll give him tomorrow off, give him that off day. But I think Tuesday he'll probably be good to go and at least be available to pinch hit.
Kyle Nelson, the other pitcher to throw against Jose Ramirez yesterday, coming from the left side. So hitting from both sides of the plate, nice yesterday. As we continue along with the injury report, I guess, here, Corey Kluber, I know he threw for him 120 feet. I mean, I'm guessing Jose Ramirez is more of a realistic opportunity or chance to help this team over these next six and maybe into the postseason. But what's Corey Kluber looking like, and is there any clearer timetable for him?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because the two injuries he's gone through, it seems like every time I see him in the clubhouse, it seems like he's in better and better shape. Like he just finds a way to
never
want to
see
better
a teammate
better.
Go but, down, yeah, a good friend go down, somebody you rely on right next to you in your position group get hurt, especially what he's been through the last year. But we got young guys that are going to need to step up, and they got a lot of talent. They got the ability to do so, and I'm excited to see how they do on the field on Sunday.
Sean McVay is a tremendous offensive mind. He does a great job in putting his players in position to be successful. They have tremendous talent on that side of the ball, starting in the backfield with Goff and Gurley. So they can spread the ball around, move it around quite a bit. So we got to be ready for everything.
It was a big blow. And I know they haven't had him, and he struggled in April. But it was a big blow to their playoff chances and the potential they have to make a deep playoff run. So, no, I don't foresee him coming back. Certainly not in the regular season, and barring a deep playoff run, I don't see him coming back. Crazier things have happened, but I think we're not going to see Corey Kluber until 2020.
And I think one thing that got lost in last night's 9-4 victory, or excuse me, 9-4 loss to the Phillies last night, was Brad Hand sneaking in there, coming in, getting, you know, in that non-leverage situation,
Sean McVay is a tremendous offensive mind. He does a great job in putting his players in position to be successful. They have tremendous talent on that side of the ball, starting in the backfield with Goff and Gurley. So they can spread the ball around, move it around quite a bit. So we got to be ready for everything.
Scoreboard watching and trying to will the Indians to a comeback?
Yeah, I think that's a huge takeaway. You're right. I mean, if somehow Tampa loses that game, it's like, okay, well, they lost, but they're still tied. Did you see Brad Hand? It looked like it was May again when he was dominant and not allowing runs and making hitters look silly that tried to go up against him. And that was their goal. After he pitched on September 8th, and then they sent him home early to get that MRI that Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It was to get him back to what we saw last night. Now, granted, it's only one game. It was the bottom of the order is what he started with against the Phillies, but it's still as good as he's looked really since probably right after the All-Star break. So we'll see if it can continue, but it's a good step for him, and it shows that rest might be exactly what he needed. The medical staff really advised them to take it slow with hand, and that's why he really didn't pick up a baseball for about a week. And then he threw a bullpen and felt pretty good, threw on flat ground, and he looked great out there yesterday. So whatever they did is working. We'll see if it continues.
Last thing, James Rapine joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You read him on 923thefan.com. You hear him throughout various shows here throughout the week and on weekends as well. Covered the Indians all season long. So we're here now. Seven games left. Are they in? Are we having a game 163 on Monday to then go and face Oakland? Well, one last time, what happens with the Indians? Are we worried on Monday? Are we in the postseason? What do you see with your crystal ball here?
Yeah, I think it's certainly going to go right down to the finish because that's what this season's been. It's been a roller coaster. You know, they find a way to get back in it when you count them out, and just when you think they're going to run with the division after they took the lead in the division, that didn't happen. And just when you think that they might be able to separate themselves from Tampa Bay in the wild card, that doesn't happen. So I'm going to say it's going to go down to the wire. It'll go down to the final weekend. And heck, it's been one thing after another roller coaster wise. So why not have a game 163? I'm betting as of now, and that means they have to win today, by the way.
Right.
They tie Tampa and have a 163, another regular season game. And the winner of that would obviously have to travel to Oakland for the wild card game. But yeah, I think it'll be a play-in game. Why not?
David,
just leave everybody on the edge of their seat for another game.
Yeah, we know all the historics, you know, with Tampa and those 163s down there in the awesome trap that they play in. So yeah, like you said, you go from Washington to Tampa to Oakland, and then either off to New York or Houston. It'll be a very exciting next 2 weeks, hopefully, for the Indians if things continue along the right path. What do you have coming up tonight for the website? Obviously, the series finale, the last home game of the regular season for the Indians coming up tonight. What should we expect on the website later this afternoon and into the evening?
Oh, I mean, the latest on Jose Ramirez, I think that's the key. That's a big part of if they're going to tie the Rays or not, having him in there versus Ryan Flaherty or Yu Chang, even if it's 80% of right Jose Ramirez, is certainly what you want. So we'll have the latest there. Obviously, anything that happens tonight at Progressive Field. And yeah, the latest injury news, breaking news, division race, or, you know, wild card race, anything like that. So anything Indians, we'll have it on the website as well. I know the Browns play tonight, but there's a baseball game to be played too, and it means a lot. So we'll have all the coverage up there on the website at 923thefan.com.
All right, be sure to check him out. Listen during the week as well for James's updates on the Indians as he continues out covering the Indians this season. And James, always a pleasure, and thank you very much for the time.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you having me.
There he is, James Rapine. Be sure to check him out on the website, Twitter as well. Everywhere you need to find him, check him out on all of the 92.3 The Fan platforms to check out the latest on the Indians. Of course, James joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we come back, one last thought about the Indians as we will then switch back over to the Browns, because I find it interesting with Clevinger going on Tuesday, that sets him up for Sunday. If you have that one play-in game on Monday or that one game to win on Wednesday, Clevinger is probably the odd man out, not the guy that will be on the mound for the Indians if they have that do-or-die situation.